Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Mona Cannell, the CMO of G2A, which is the world's largest global marketplace for digital entertainment. You know G2A, don't you? You've probably bought something from it, I would imagine. I really enjoyed this chat. There's lots of energy from Mona, and I learned a lot about marketing for Web3 and kind of thinking out of the box around marketing channels. There's a huge amount to take from this conversation. So check out the links in the show notes, connect with Mona, subscribe if you enjoy the pod. Let's get to it. Hey, Mona.
Hey, John. Lovely meeting you. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. We're going to kind of like dig into marketing channels that we don't think about and we might not even know exist. So it's going to be quite exciting, this, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be really exciting. And once I'm a passionate brand strategist and a marketing professional, this is actually what I really love talking about, especially when it's about the non-standard, more out-of-the-box approach.
Absolutely. So I tell you what, let me give you a few seconds. Tell everybody who you are and what you do. Go for it.
Okay, perfect. So first, a little about myself. I'm Mona Cannell. I'm, as I said, a passionate brand strategist and results-driven marketing communication professional. I like to say I'm also a democratic leader and a creative storyteller with more than 20 years experience, mainly across e-commerce, retail, sports, fashion, media, and entertainment industry. Privately, I'm a proud and happy mom of 7 years old supergirl, Mika. I'm a traveler, ocean freak, and a dedicated surfer. That's probably also why I live in Spain, where I can do all this.
Where it's warm at the moment. I mean, I'm on the Welsh border and I look outside and it's just
so let
grim.
Me send you this beautiful sun energy and vibe and hope it's gonna be really warm and energetic today with our conversation.
Fabulous.
But professionally, I am CMO at G2A.com, which is the world's largest and most trusted marketplace for digital entertainment, where more than 30 million people from 180 countries have purchased to date over 100 million items. Only in 2023, we had more than 250 million visits on G2A.com, and users can choose from more than 75,000 digital offerings, including games, which is like the primary category for us, DLCs, in-game items, but also plenty of non-gaming items, such as gift cards, subscriptions, software, or e-learning, and all sold by quality verified sellers from all over the world. So this is a little bit of a background and kind of bigger picture. So you see that the scale is here.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I've bought stuff from G2A. I know I have. I know I have. I think everybody has, haven't they? So a lot of what we're going to talk about, I think, would fall possibly, maybe, under the category of what's known as Web3. Because we've had web, I remember that, like 1996.
Yeah, okay. Me too. And even what was before web, and there was nothing.
Oh, God, wasn't it peaceful? Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah, but I was playing Pac-Man, you know, on my Commodore and also on this little boxes.
Oh, don't. This will turn into a retro gaming episode, this will. We've had web 2.0, and which was kind of like all the cloud. Everything's on the cloud, everything's done online, everything's, you know, what we know the web is today. What's Web3? Explain that to me.
I would say that this is the whole new world of everything that is about how to meet and respond effectively to customers' needs and expectations, meaning how to approach them with the best possible offering, with the best possible messages behind, with the best possible and attractive, appealing content in the right momentum, with the right message behind, and in the right channels. And also to stand out from the competitors through very bold brand positioning and brand strategy behind, also communication, as I said before, but also all this very good customer journey processes behind, which means that you need to be having a really great platform which serves the client, which helps and enhances the process, which actually includes all the users despite their gender, location, status, fluency in the digital world. And this is actually whole combination that these days makes the e-commerce or the marketplaces or the Web3 businesses being good or not. How complex is that? How difficult it is, right?
Yeah. But it's kind of joining it. It's joining it up together. It's joining it together, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. So as I'm a very passionate brand strategist, I would say here that I'm personally, but also as an organization, we are particularly proud of our most recent brand strategy that we actually adapted and developed last year, which is very consistent and actually exactly referring to what I have just mentioned before. So just let me tell you a few words about that, because I think might give a bigger clarity also on our approach that we will probably go more into in a while. So G2A.com, according to our brand strategy, opens the gate to adventure in digital entertainment. G2A, gate to adventure. Digital entertainment these days is huge. You know, people just jumped in after COVID or during the COVID online and just owned the space there. And we are here to open this gate to adventure. And by using the methodology of brand archetypes, I will explain that we are the explorer, which means we inspire and help to discover what's out there in this digital entertainment for everybody. We recommend what's worth paying attention to, right? Whether it's a gaming or it's a something on Netflix or Disney, or it's a shopping experience that might be truly exciting for certain groups. You just select whatever is worth spending time on for you. Then, on the other hand, as the caregiver, so the second brand archetype that we have adopted, we create safe environments for shopping and this entire customer journey that we enhance to make everyone feel safe, secure, and the process is easy, friendly. And basically, our mission is to democratize with all of this digital entertainment and make it accessible for everyone, despite wherever you sit, whoever you are, how fluent you are with these digital skills these days. And we want to empower everyone to grow and expand their potential in digital world. That's what we do.
Do you think that digital marketers in general are keeping up with the audience, or do you think they're lagging behind a little bit?
I think it is a really good question, but I would say that answer would be probably depending on who you talk to or about whom you are talking about, right? So basically, I would say we do, because we are, since the very beginning, very conscious about our customer. We have always been here to deliver value to the customer via our offering, but also the way we perform, the way we communicate with the client. So we are a data-driven company, which means that everything we do is based on data that we extract either from external sources about the market as such or the client segments, or of course from our internal sources and analysis. So we try to make our offering and communication and services on the platform as close to the customer's needs as only possible, thanks to the data we are looking into. Yeah. And I think that these days there is no other way than really looking at those data very thoroughly, because the audience is very diverse, it's very demanding, competition is very severe, and if you want to be in this world and play the game, then that's the way.
Yeah. Do you do a lot of market research? Are you asking questions? Are you actually asking questions, or are you just looking at, tracking behavior or tracking online, all of that? Or are you actually talking to people?
Actually, we do all of it. We try to do all of it, but at different moments. So basically, if you think about first maybe the external sources, once we invest in brand and our brand awareness, we do the brand research basically globally, but also more profound and deeper on our core markets, which for example is US, Spain or UK, just to name a few. So we've got those data about, how we are perceived and what the purchase intent might be and what the share of voice is. We've been also monitoring all the social media and all the PR activities with all these key messages behind, tonality, whatever users are commenting on about us and our services. And then also within our systems, we've been doing a lot of research, whether it's the UX process that we've been very thoroughly performing and monitoring, or different types of questionnaires that on certain moments of this customer journey, we've been asking our users to involve in. And based on all this, we extract data and analyze them thoroughly and make conclusions and then act against what we see.
Yeah, that's good to know. Let's move on to channels. There's so many channels and we ignore a lot of them, don't we? Because we kind of like, we got to run some Facebook ads, we got to run Instagram, we got to get on TikTok, we got to Google Ads, and all this sort of thing. And that's about it. So where do you spend your money? What channels are there that we might not think about?
I think this is exactly the question which I would say is the essence of the marketing role or the challenge behind the marketing role. So to figure out what's gonna work best and resonate with our customers, which channels to use or mix together, and whoever can figure it out correctly and add, this creative out-of-the-box flavor on top is actually winning. This is pretty much like cooking, I would say, that's just based on strong data and strategic insights, but pretty much like a cooking, right? You just try to mix and make customer happy and come back and be satisfied and basically recommend afterwards to others.
Yeah.
So our approach is a combination of traditional methods with these new methods and new channels, which includes also a lot of testing. So basically, we are based on 360 marketing approach and two major pillars. One would be raising awareness of our brand via specific mix of different channels. So you would find that, of course, depending on the market, whatever works better on which markets and whatever works better for a certain customer segment that we want to approach. But pretty much it can be a mix of traditional, even out-of-home channels, just to raise more awareness, with the digital channels, as you mentioned before, also kind of traditional, as we can call this, paid social channels, or the Google channels, but also all the other local platforms that we are exploring in the given market that might not be as big as Google, for example, but still very relevant. The driving sales as a second pillar. So basically here, we do the ongoing campaigns via pretty much standard channels, whether it's going to be a performance marketing, it's going to be different SEO or content marketing related activities. But also we do trade seasons, or if you like, thematic campaigns, such as back to school or holiday season, Halloween, or our annual massive birthday campaign, basically to give this little flavor to the consumer and also stand out at the same time. We run global campaigns, we run the specific market campaigns and dedicated activations. And as I said before, we also test a lot. And I will give now an example. We have always been very strong at esport, as being such a strong player in the gaming industry. We have already spent like over $12 million on esport partnership of various type and different events. You know, we have supported to date over 70 teams and over 110 tournaments all over the world. And then we thought, okay, it's great, it's amazing, it's really good approach, we're going to continue, but we need more because the world has been evolving, the consumers have been changing. It's not just hard gamers that we should be talking to only. We need to expand more, just start talking maybe to more casual gamers, more light gaming users, but also non-gamers that could be attracted to gaming afterwards, you know, maybe after seeing the value of the gaming. So a little bit education behind the gaming that we started to do, showing the value of the gaming, you know, to different groups such as parents, for example, because there's been quite a lot of stereotypes, to be honest, you know, about gaming as such. So we started to educate that actually gaming with a good proportions, good balance is a very good tool in education process, very developing certain skills, you know, like cognitive or perception wise and analytical, strategic. So basically, we also wanted to add this valuable element into that through our communication. You know, we even set up the G2A Academy that we last year started cooperate in Spain with Spanish professors, and they started to actually use certain courses of ours, gaming methods in education, and then it actually spread around, and even teachers in Greece and all the countries started to actually use it and really, really gave a great words about it afterwards as very, you know, like interesting to kids, but at the same time very effective and helpful to teachers. Then we thought, okay, once we've got a sport, we do some education behind, you know, what gaming is truly about and how to maximize on it. We thought, okay, let's expand on sport and let's go into traditional sports maybe more. So we started to test here, and we actually initiated several different partnerships, for example, with sports creators or sports players of different disciplines. For example, we've got Ola Mirosław. She's a multiple title holder, champion of speed climbing, which is absolutely adventurous. It's absolutely powerful. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Then we started to the partnership with Driftmasters European Championships, you know, which is a truly family entertainment, very attractive, you know, very visually appealing, and plenty of families just go there, you know, and spend a really nice time and see how they compete, you know, what's the healthy competition there. And we started to cooperate with certain drivers like Spanish drift champion Ruben Bolanos and also Dani Clos, who is a former Formula One driver, you know, and this is, again, adventurous, but also a lot of passion behind. And plenty of those sports guys actually game, you know, they like playing games. And many of those drivers, for example, they starting from playing games. And then jumped into the real world of sports. So this is kind of encouraging message and empowering to kids, for example, that yes, they can do this as well.
Yeah. So these sports which you're talking about are adventure sports, really. They're almost niche sports in a way.
In a way. But also we've been sponsoring chess players.
Right. Yeah, well, that's not niche. No, sure. Yeah. But what I'm thinking to myself is that wouldn't it be easier to just go and buy some boards at football grounds?
This we've been testing as well, you know. At the moment, even, we've been testing kind of advertisements around the football games of Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. And I must say, of course, it gives an amazing brand awareness related effects and also great feedback that we receive in terms of the PR image that it actually builds, impacts the trust and credibility of the brand. So yes, it's worth doing it. It doesn't necessarily need to impact your sales, because this is a grant raising awareness channel pretty much. But then if you smartly add other elements into it, then you can start selling as well.
Yeah, because I'm thinking in my head that when you look into the drifting, the speed climbing, things like that, you would possibly get a better conversion rate for spending less money than buying some boards, advertising boards of Borussia Dortmund, for example.
Yeah, and also what we try to do is to show this adventure via real people and actually the exact experience and passion that they represent, and actually transfer this empowerment to others, because we believe in credibility. We believe in a true experience, and we want to encourage everyone just to jump in and try for themselves. So that's actually our approach, you know. We open the gate to adventure and actually show how you can get there, how you can really test this adventure, and how you can even begin your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you class esports as out of home or digital or both?
Both, actually, because
Because you've got the stadium, haven't you? You've got the actual stadium where it's happening with people in it. That would be kind of out of home, wouldn't it?
Yes, and this is exactly the Driftmasters, because this is the actual real championship, you know, series that's happening every year. There are like six races that you've got in six countries, including Spain, you know, or Poland, for example, or Germany. And basically people group on the stadium, and you can actually get in a real touch with them. You can make this contact with your brand actually a reality, because we are in an online business. We are in a digital world. So it's even more valuable from time to time just to show up there and say, look, those emotions are real. We are real. This is what we do. That's why also at those events, we try to have stands, you know, we try to have this, last time at the last event of the Driftmasters Championship, we had even like this gaming simulators, you know, of this super top quality, you know, where you can actually feel how you race or and actually experience, you know, all that. So yes, we try to kind of connect the digital with online and expand on the synergies this combination creates.
Yeah. So you've mentioned esports, mentioned the education stuff, so schools, universities, that sort of thing. Mentioned the speed climbing, the drifting, the Borussia Dortmund banners. How do you work out whether all this money you're spending is actually, you know, bringing in some results? How do you measure the return on the investment?
Yeah. So as I said before, we are a data-driven company. We actually try to measure everything that we've been doing. Of course, not every single action that we've been taking is possible to measure, like 1 euro spent is converting to how much, you know, return on investment. That's not really like this exact measurement, but still we can see the effects. At the moment, for example, we've been running a brand partnership. This is another way, quite non-standard, I would say, that I would recommend to jump in these days, is brand partnerships. So we've been cooperating for a few months now with a pizza brand in Poland, Giuseppe Pizza, and we've got millions of discount codes included in millions of pizza boxes. And you could say, okay, so what's there for us? First, there is a raising awareness thing behind all of it. Yeah. Secondly, there is the discount code, basically. So if anyone is using it, we see it straight away on our platform, and we see whether there is an impact or there is no impact. And this is how we try to do this stuff, smart, as broad as possible, reach-wise and client segment-wise, and also in terms of effectiveness. So yes, we measure all that. And you can see even maybe not having the discount code behind, but I don't know, some kind of Driftmaster series, or you can see the impact or your engagement rates via your social channels. You can see impact on the traffic on your website or mobile application, because even at the event, we are trying to link things together, right? And maybe say, okay, download our application, jump in, there is a special offer for you actually just here, just now. And just encourage our users to stay with us for longer afterwards, and with, you know, all this retargeting communication, very specific, very well profiled afterwards. It is a challenge, I think, to all marketers these days, you know, how to measure things. And I think that this is, again, a smart mix of activities. If you just go for one campaign that would be, I don't know, only out of home, that I would say your return on investment will be really long term. And I don't think anyone can afford this these days, you know, with the with this goals for greater effectiveness and optimization of the budget and of the costs and of the performance as such. So only the mix of different things, including brand partnerships, including partnerships with influencers, including different consumer activations, whether on the ground, events, or different types of campaigns out there or in your environment, that's the only way, I would say. And together, then you can look at it and say, okay, what impact it actually had.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I could chat for ages and ages about this.
And actually, there is also one more parameter, I would say. This would be visible afterwards at some point back in this brand research that you've been conducting, I don't know, once a year or maybe once every 2 years, depending on the brand, as well as at NPS, that brands measure, or the different type of other parameters like the customer satisfaction parameters, like we started our conversation with, right? That we actually make these questionnaires, that we ask our users. They will then tell you straight away if they like things more or not, if there is any change or not, if they saw stuff or not. And then it's actually the best feedback you can actually get, and there in the ground from them.
Yeah, I think that's a really good, I think you've explained Web3 well in all of the, because it's all joining everything together. It's joining everything together, isn't it? And all the different different
this
places.
This is like a cycle, actually. That's what we did here with this conversation, right? Just from the general bigger picture through a little bit more details and then back. Because this is exactly what the marketing job is about, how you effectively make the circle work and close, so you actually have all those things working for you well.
And I have a Commodore 64 behind me.
Ah, that was my first computer.
And it still works. It still works. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I bought that in, oh, I don't even want to, 1984, 85, something like that. It still works. I've got a Dell over here. I've got a Dell from about 5 years ago that's broken.
Those pieces in some time will be worth loads of money, so just keep it safe.
Keep it. I shall retire to Spain on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mona, thanks ever so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Where can we find you? We know where the website is. Where can we find
definitely.
You?
Yeah, definitely. So website, again, would be g2a.com. Then Facebook, g2a.com. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, of course, and LinkedIn. So I would say that all the popular channels, of course, we've been covering. And then just stay tuned and subscribe into our newsletter just to see what's coming up, and just see, because we've been actually doing a lot of really, really nice stuff, which is exciting and appealing. And hopefully you will find it interesting too.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Mona, thanks ever so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Thanks again for having me. It was a really great time. Thanks a lot.
Thanks again to Mona for her time. Don't forget to check out all the links in the show notes. And if you've enjoyed the episode, you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's absolutely everywhere. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.